This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Ryan.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Ryan.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Once again, my privilege to greet you all in the land of the living. And if there's one thing about life that we must all become accustomed to as a result of living, it is change. We must become accustomed to change, and we must do it because change is constant. As contradictory as it sounds, it's true. I know it's been said before, but things may change fast or slow, but they will change. Change will happen with or without your approval, and change can be disruptive, especially when change comes fast against the status quo. Anybody remember gay rights? Change can be disruptive, especially when it comes nationwide, and when that happens, there can be quite a backlash on the change being made. There could also be backlash on the change makers. As I speak on this topic, I'm reminded of the civil rights movement. Many people in America look back on the civil rights movement now with admiration. They read about it in books and watch movies about it. "We Shall Overcome" is a popular song now to sing at all types of different protests. People do this because they have the convenience to do so. They celebrate the civil rights movement because they can, because the civil rights movement is over. If it weren't over, we couldn't celebrate it. We would still be fighting for rights. It's so easy to forget now that the actual movement was like a war. People died during the civil rights movement. People like John Lewis were maimed. Violence was undertaken in order to prevent change. Martin Luther King may be popular now, but during the civil rights movement, he was seen as divisive and very unpopular by the general public. When I say the general public, those were the people he had to convince. As a result, there was a backlash against MLK. Part of the reason for that was because he was the leader of change. He was trying to change the relationship between America and its black citizens. And by the way, it didn't matter that Dr. King was right. He died anyway. And being right had nothing to do with his lack of popularity with white America at the time of his death. The fact is that he was leading change before many people were ready for it, even if he was right. And change is uncomfortable when you aren't ready for it. Change like that can make some people feel like they're out of control or like they're losing their country, if that sounds familiar. Yeah. And so as a result, there can be a backlash. And again, that backlash can come down to the change bringers. The FBI investigated MLK. They threw him in jail. They threatened MLK's family, all in a futile bid to avoid inevitable change that they weren't ready for. Did you hear what I just said there, folks? Change is inevitable. Inevitable. Some change you will agree with, some change you won't. But if you feel that you're powerless when change comes, you are correct. You are. Because change lives outside of your control. The fact is that no one person or group gets to dictate the future for everybody. Now I want to tell you about a change I've experienced in a relationship between myself and a close friend. I'll make up a name for this guy and call him Ryan. Ryan and I had met in college, and we have been very close friends for almost 15 years at the time of this story. We were really there for each other. During that time, Ryan had always struck me as a guy with liberal values, who was very intellectually gifted, loyal, and generous, and had all the good qualities that you would want in a close friend. Ryan was the type of guy you could trust. And by the way, he was always really good with the ladies, too. He was kind of a man's man. But there was always one thing I noticed about Ryan, and that was, for the whole time that I'd known him, he had always seemed uncomfortable in his skin. It was weird. I didn't think he was gay or anything, but there was always something off about Ryan. I never could quite put my finger on it. Since Ryan was a liberal and he came from an upper middle class family, I began to think that maybe Ryan wasn't comfortable with his racial identity. He definitely showed a preference for hanging out with people of color. He had always been that way. So when he started acquiring transgender buddies, it was right in line with his tolerant philosophy. Then one day he called me to tell me that he was a non-binary person. At that time, I had no idea what that was. Probably, I still don't understand it. I believe this was during the COVID lockdowns. I remember it clearly because our conversations became difficult from that point on. Ryan began to instruct me on how to refer to him when I was talking to other people.
Hey, hate Jamal, but that's the issue. People don't understand and don't take the time to understand. Therefore, they're uncomfortable.
That's right. That's right. And I was too. He was like, Jamal, when you talk about me and my absence to others, refer to me as they. And I didn't react to that well. I didn't react to it well because I thought he was trying to tell me what to say. And he was, in a way. I could see that if you don't want me to call you names to your face, I get that. But how is it that he gets to dictate what I say to other people when he isn't there? And how would he know what I call him if he's absent anyway? I gotta be honest, it seemed very controlling to me. And then he was very strict about it. He didn't even like when I used colloquialisms like, man, listen. He'd be like, when you say man, listen, you're calling me a man and I'm not a man. Then I would say, no, I'm not calling you a man. It's a colloquialism, dummy. One day I got frustrated and told Ryan, hey, man, since I've known you, I've been the same person. You're the one who's changed. And now you're mad at me because I haven't changed with you fast enough. After all, how am I supposed to change my entire language regarding you in a matter of weeks? I knew for sure that his change was also causing some divisions in his own family. Now, one of my worst experiences was when he told me that he was thinking about taking hormone therapy to sound more like a woman when he talked. So soon after he told me that, I called him for a friendly chat, and I could tell he was practicing enunciation in order to sound more like a woman. And it felt weird and desperate on his part. He was practicing on me. I felt like he was desperate to find an identity that he could accept, and he was using me to practice it. And it felt a little phony at the time, I'll be honest. Since then, our friendship has suffered somewhat of a decline, but not because I wanted it to. We haven't spoken recently, but not because I don't want to. I heard through the grapevine that he has changed his name to a female-sounding one, but I do not know how far he has gone to that end. I am unaware if he's had any operations, and I don't know if that's even important. What is important is that I miss my friend, even though he brought change to me that I wasn't prepared for. But now, we should all know that transgender rights and civil rights are the same thing. It just so happens that transgender people are being targeted right now, but it used to be fashionable to attack black people in the same way back in the day. In fact, when I was a child, it was popular. It was popular to attack gay people.
Yeah.
There was a bar down the block from where I lived, and it always had egg on the front.
Yeah, it was very popular. It was almost like, what are you doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's go down to the bar.
Let's go attack some gay people.
Yeah.
It's always some defenseless minority that gets attacked in America for having the audacity to expect freedom to live as they please in a country that brags about freedoms. But I admit ignorance on this subject, so I saw it as an opportunity when Nicole Mayweather Banks called into the show 2 weeks ago to request we do a broadcast on trans people. Thank you for that.
And that number is?
That number is 860-218-2173. You can call too. I saw this as an opportunity to learn something, and here she sits with me today. Right, Nicole?
I'm here.
Nicole sits here along with some other allies I've made in the cause of transgender rights. We have a full studio today, my friends, and everybody is waiting patiently for me to officially start the show. So here we go. Welcome to Saturday, my friends, the very next day of your life. This is The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name is Jamal. I'm an attorney and information junkie from Harlem, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you, an illness for which there is no vaccine or lockdown. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live, not just for a reason, but for a season. On this day, the revolution will be televised live on Facebook, where most revolutions go to die, mine goes there to live. Also, the Jamal Show Facebook page is live. Go there and your intelligence will improve. Gotta say hello to the Archbishop Chris. He didn't create sound, but he knows the guy who did. Dr. Mack is also in the studio, even after blowing
I'm right here. We got a good group here today.
Yeah,
people.
Even after all blowing right, a 2.3 in the breathalyzer, hey. Dr. Mack still has appeared.
And we even let John Rose come in today.
As I said today, we have
G. James, man.
Okay, so let me introduce the two people we have from ProudAcademyCT.org, Attorney John Rose. Hey there.
Good morning.
He's a gentleman and scholar who serves as a board member of the non-for-profit. We also have Patty Nicolari, who I hope I pronounced the last name correctly.
Job well done, Jamal.
From the same organization, ProudAcademyCT.org, is a proposed transgender school in New Haven, and we're going to discuss it in a few. Also in the studio, we have Nicole Mayweather Banks. She is a therapist who works with transgender people in the Hartford area. By the way, she is also the caller who suggested that we do this broadcast in the first place, so thanks, Nicole. And I'll save the best for last, just because at the Jamal Show, we don't just talk about people behind their back.
No, we do it in the front.
We do it in the front, too. We actually talk to people who are the subjects of Rudy themselves, so I bid a welcome to Taryn. Taryn is a transgender high school student, and I am delighted to have them on to tell me what it's really like. Moving on, it's been like a month since we last broadcasted. The last time we talked, the theme was persecution, and that's a theme that made Nicole think about transgender people and call us 2 weeks ago, because trans people are being persecuted right now all across the nation. So we hope to remind people today that trans people are humans who deserve dignity. But how will I accomplish that? Well, how I always do it, by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. And it is easy with Ron DeSantis using the trans community like a pinata. Now, if you came late to the party, I would remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network that exists. Of course, that's a lie, but it's a lie we can make true with your help. So please share the gift of the Jamal Show with a loved one, and I promise you more intelligence when Christmas comes. Lastly, please know that my views do not represent the views of this station, because the owner thinks I'm the one who's stupid and he's the one who's smart. But I'm here to tell you that ain't true. Remember, my friends, you can call and join in the discussion every time. Just call 860-218-2173.
All right.
Just like Nicole did. Also, call that number if you need a lawyer that doesn't suck. That would be me. The email address to the show is jamalshowradio@gmail.com. Finally, it's time for a break, and you're welcome. When we come back, I'm going to try this new thing called letting other people talk.
Nah, don't do that.
I'm going to try it, and I'm going to try it a lot.
No, don't do that.
Thank you, Jamal.
Table.
Thank you.
We're going to have a round table. And until then, I dedicate the upcoming song to the trans community. The song is called Tougher. That's what you need to be in this day and age. Mm-hmm. It's a remixed version of a song I really like that I have played before, and it features Lowski and Mex Cortez, the greatest rapper in Africa. You're with the Jamal Show. Meet me on the other side of God. Hit me.
We suffered. It just made us tougher. It made us tougher. Tough, hey, tough, hey, tough. It made us tougher. Tough, yeah, tough. Hey, hey. They want your soul to be cautious. Fake people make me nauseous. Switch your currency for the gossip. All I'ma do is just block it. It made us tougher. Tough, hey, tough, hey, tough. It made us tougher. My darkest times, sipping up weirdest wine, sip. Pretending like I am fine. Ten. Judgment is easy to find. Judgment. And hope is not hard to lose. Four. Designed like a set of keys. So how do I open up without risking further injury? Yeah, I remember days used to cut myself. Hated me so much, I was not myself. You have no ideas how to say that shit. Looking in the mirror like don't save that ship. Party, no one invited. I guess at this point the devil excited. But I got God on my side. He asked me, son, why you feel like this? Hope it's not cause you broke before the moonlight kiss. I gave you love, you let it go. You let it go. I gave you love, you wanna hold. I gave you love, you let it go. You let it go. Gotta pick one, can have them both. Yeah. I gave you rap, you made it grow. I gave you love, you made it home. I don't know no other. Been through a lot, we suffered. It just made us tougher. It made us tougher. Tough, hey, tough, hey, tough. It made us tougher. Tough, yeah, tough. Hey, hey. They want your soul, be cautious. Fake people make me nauseous. Switch your currency for the gossip. All I'ma do is just block it. It made us tougher. Tough, hey, tough, hey, tough. It made us tougher.
You know, you really have to believe in what you're doing in life in order to better get through it. That's really the message of this show. That's what this show is all about. And we hope you believe in the message as much as we do, which is why we're hoping that you'll take this opportunity to support us through Ko-fi.com. That's K-O-F-I. .com/The Jamal Show. Please join us there. Consider buying us a coffee. We need the caffeine to keep this show running and to keep telling the truth, quite honestly. So why don't you join us, and we'll give you a nice shout out on the next broadcast. Join us at coffee.com. That's ko-fi.com/The Jamal Show. We'd really appreciate any support you can give us. Thank you very much.
Hello again, my friends. That song is called Tougher. It's a remix of a song I played a few times before.
Okay,
by
Jamal.
A fellow called Lowski. And the remix has Met Cortez on it. He's a serious dude. You can find that song wherever you stream your music, Spotify, Amazon, etc. Check them out. Remember, you heard them first on The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent.
Jamal.
Again, if you want to
repeat that information that you guys were talking about during the break, because that was very good.
But first, I want to get to the phone call. If you want to call in, you can, 860-218-2173. Move on.
Nicole's going to jump in there.
Yeah. So, actually, I think we're going to start with Taryn.
Okay.
I just want to ask a question. I want to know what it means to be a transgender individual. What it means to you.
What it means to me personally is just, I don't know, it's just being myself, I guess, like who I identify as.
And like, and when can I say that you, would you say you identified this? Was it, how young were you when this came?
I originally figured it out when I was in fifth grade, I'd say. Like, I went up to my mom and was like, hey, I think I'm a guy. And then she was like, do you want to do anything about it? And I said, no. And so it kind of just like went under the radar for like the next like 4 or 5 years until freshman year. I decided to, like, you know what, I'm just like come out of the closet again. And that's when like things actually started to like pick up.
Now, it's funny, you said again, one of the things that Nicole pointed out to me when I first started talking to her is that there's a difference between the gay community and the transgender community. Am I correct? Am I correct there by paraphrasing you?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between gender and sexuality. So when you're talking about the gay community, we're talking about sexuality. And when you're talking about trans non-binary community, we're talking gender identity.
But they do have crossing points, right? Like, so a person who ends up transgender can start as possibly a gay person. Am I correct? Or they don't have any crossover at all. Feel free to speak, anybody. If I'm wrong, grab a mic or what have you, but you can clear me up on that.
Well, in the work that I've done, what I've noticed is because there's not a lot of language for individuals sometimes, right? And then the exploration around identity, there will be some individuals who identify as, you know, gay or lesbian. They'll question their sexuality first, because that's what society can understand. As things go on and progress and people, you know, start to become more familiar with what it is that they're experiencing, you know, and even the language, sometimes people don't even have the language that there is a word for what it is that they're experiencing. Then, right, then when, the more that they come in tune with their identity, then they're able to kind of identify if I'm cisgender or if I'm transgender or, you know.
Now, for the people who don't know, cisgender is C-I-S, gender, and that is what?
Cisgender means anyone who identifies as the same sex that they were assigned at birth. So if you are assigned female at birth and you identify as a woman, then that would be cisgender.
Okay, all right. So let me ask you, Taryn, did you start with questioning your own sexuality first, or did you just think that you were a man, you felt like you were a man early on? It didn't have nothing to do with sexuality.
Oh, for sure. I started off thinking I was bisexual.
Okay.
But then that turned out not being true. I now don't like to put a label on my sexuality, but trying to, like, figure out if I was, like, bisexual or if it was something else was kind of, like, the jumping off point for me. Because I didn't have the word transgender when I was confused at first. Like, all I had were, like, sexual identity terms, like the basic ones, like gay, lesbian, and bi. And I didn't really have anything past that to, like, branch out and explain who I am.
So what are the terms we should be using? Like, I explained to you my friend with his use of pronouns, telling me how to use pronouns. Should we be watching our pronouns when we deal with you? Or is that something that's individual? Is that something that all transgender people subscribe to? How does that work?
Or does it really matter?
Maybe you can help me with this too a little bit, Nicole.
Well, I think that, you know, anytime you're talking about pronouns and how to describe someone, right, you always need to talk to the person that you talking to. Not everybody uses the same language. Not everybody uses the same terminology as far as identity. This is not something that is is not particular to trans population, right? There are pronouns for everyone. Everyone has an identified pronoun. So for me to say, okay, I only need to use specific pronouns for trans individuals, that's actually not accurate, right? We need to use pronouns for everyone. And I can't look at you, Jamal, and say, okay, well, even though I see more masculine presenting, I can't say you use the pronouns he, him, right? Because that would be, that's normal, the societal norm. I need to ask you what your pronouns are.
Yeah, it's okay. I can't look at him.
Pronouns itself are just a regular part of the human language. You can't, if you want to address someone, you can't not use a pronoun. Like, if you're talking about yourself, you use the pronoun I. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're talking about a group of people, you use the pronoun, like, they in general. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about, like, you and another person, you use we, right? It's just a regular part of the English language. So pronouns itself aren't, like, an abnormal thing. And when it comes to addressing a trans person, you, if they want to go by, like, certain pronouns, that's how you address them, like you'd address, like, a cis guy. You'd say, if you were talking about a cis guy to another person, you'd use he, him pronouns, right?
Right?
And that's the same when it comes to a transgender person in the pronouns they want to use and identify with.
Yeah.
I'm picking up that you don't necessarily use the they, them pronoun.
I use he and they, okay. But I'm fine with whatever, except she, her, honestly.
I get it. No, because I see a lot of my colleagues, lawyers and stuff, they always put in a page now, refer to me as he, him. I wonder how you view that. Do you see that as a disrespect? Or do you
absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's actually really great, in
like
my
that.
Opinion.
It normalizes it.
It really does.
Yeah, it does.
So I imagine that you've faced some stuff at school.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder how you deal with that.
Honestly, it's gotten to a point where, like, I just don't care exactly. Like, it's just going to happen. I've just got to deal with it, you know? Like, it's not like it's going to go away anytime soon, so.
And I think that these lessons that you find in high school are important. Like, how to fight, how to counter people's disrespect. These are life lessons in many ways that you find in school.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sorry, and this is why this is your school's so important. Because I feel like that's not being taken place in regular schools, right? The counseling around the support with gender identity. So it's important to have a separate entity in order to be able to support this specific community because the needs are not the same. So coming into an office and talking about gender identity is not the same as me coming in the office and talking about, okay, I just have anxiety or even sexual orientation. You can walk out of the office, right, and still be who you are as far as your sexual orientation goes and, you know, and still live life. But when you're coming in as an trans or non-binary individual, you cannot always put that behind the scenes because once you start to put that behind the scenes and you start to not be visible, then you're no longer living your authentic self, and that's where the issue comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask if you felt that therapy was helpful for you, if you have engaged in therapy? Was that something that was helpful in your process?
Like just therapy in general or like gender therapy, that kind of stuff?
In general.
Oh, yeah. Therapy is kind of, it is, in my opinion, kind of, it was beneficial to me. It didn't really help me, like, figure out myself, per se, but it did help me have, like, an outlet to, like, share my frustrations.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful.
Yeah. You had mentioned if there are enough people for me to have a whole practice with it. At this point in time, I am not full. I do have openings. However, there are plenty of people that could utilize my services. You know, and the reason I decided to be specific about the population that I serve and not serve as far as sexuality and gender identity is because there's such a lack of clinicians who are, you know, qualified to work specifically with this population who's able to be conclusive. So when someone comes to my practice, if I'm serving the whole LGBTQ community, there may be less slots for my T counterparts. So I want all of my slots to be able to serve this particular population. That's why I chose to go only that route.
Darren, you live in a small town not far from here, and you go to a public school. I'm on the board of what's going to be a new school in Connecticut, and Patty Nicolari, who's sitting beside me, is the founder of that school, and I'd like to hear her talk about the why of such a school.
Well, we're going to get into that. We have a whole hour, but
let me say hi.
I do want you to talk, but I'm trying to get into the whole why about transgenderism first, and what you're experiencing at school right now. Let me ask you about the administration. How does the administration respond to something like this? And are you the only person in your school that's experiencing this?
Oh, I'm definitely not the only person in school that's experiencing this. I have a couple friends who are transgender themselves.
Okay. Are you going to the same school?
Yeah, same school
as
me.
So you have support mechanism there.
Yes,
very
I do.
Very important.
And so, like, all of us kind of, like, face the same kind of, like, backlash towards it. And the school administration, it does some things, but it doesn't necessarily prevent it entirely. Like, they can throw as many assemblies as they want. It's genuinely not going to do much change.
Do you feel like you have a support mechanism to run to if something happens in school?
Yes. You yes, do. I do.
Okay, good. Good. Because I see all these stories on Vice, on YouTube, about trans kids that have to go from state to state because they're being chased.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, luckily, we live in a good state with some good politicians that don't allow for that kind of stuff here. But I just wanted to make sure.
Let's talk about that, right? It's
not. This is neither Texas nor Florida, but.
Connecticut has some bills out there right now that are targeting the LGBT community. I think it's five. Yeah. So about five of them, and I think four of them are specifically towards trans individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they really have a chance to pass with this governor?
I don't know, but my concern is that if there are people in, you know, they're thinking about it, there's always a possibility.
Amen.
So now let's get into, do you feel, like being a high school student yourself, do you see that there's an opening for a school for just people like this? Do you see that there's a market for this?
Oh, for sure. Like, on a regular, like, school district, there is definitely going to be, like, some discrimination and hate. But in, like, a school like Patty's, that's specifically for LGBTQIA+ kids, then you will have, hopefully, no discrimination whatsoever. And kids will just be free to learn without any distractions.
Yeah. I think, Tara, my concern with that is, too, right, and the school is a great idea, the LGBTQ, but I really feel as though when it comes down to the T part of that, right, really kind of understanding that even within this one marginalized population, trans is also marginalized within this population. There's not always a connection between individuals and their sexuality and gender identity. So coming into a space with individuals who, right, are sexually marginalized as far as gender marginalized, it's not always a connect, and sometimes there is that discrimination. So I think one of the questions is there room for a school that serves specifically, you know, trans and non-binary individuals?
There you go.
Oh, for
and
sure.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Right?
Is this the first one in Connecticut?
If I may add, yes, this will be the first school. Proud Academy, proudly respecting our unique differences, will not only be the first in Connecticut, but the first in New England.
I love it.
And we are partnering with the other four schools in the nation, we will be the fifth in the nation. So, you know, the Harvey Milk School in New York, the Alliance in Milwaukee, the Albert Einstein Academy in Ohio, and Magic City Acceptance Academy in Alabama. So we are joining the ranks of them. We have a national partnership with them. And so in Connecticut, because I'm in the LGBTQ family, and as a teacher who identified as lesbian back in the 80s and 90s, I was being harassed. Kids were saying, we have a dyke for a teacher. They scratched Les in my car, left notes on my desk, and I felt very unsafe as a teacher. But I got to go home to my family and feel supported. And I'm thinking, how are these poor students surviving when they're being bullied and picked on? And so fast forward, I came out 15 years later alongside Ellen DeGeneres in 1997. Totally changed my life, and I empowered myself to be authentic, to be who I am, and to proudly proclaim, yes, I am in the LGBTQ family. And very few people could do damage to you at that point when you have confidence. I want to instill that in the students who come to Proud Academy. I want them to feel good about who they are, embrace their individuality. There's so much that they bring to the table that that could be life-changing. It changes the families. It changes the community. The ripple effect is huge. Mm-hmm. And we're finding, because my thought was, if we build it, will they come? Well, they are. Oh, yeah. Because, and 95% of those who filled out intent to enroll are transgender and non-binary. Mm-hmm. Families from Mystic, from New London, from Sandy Hook, from Woodbridge.
They travel?
Well, we're opening September 5th. Uh-huh. And so like any private school, parents will have to, you know, send their children there. We hope to raise enough money so that we could send buses out to the Hartford area, buses to the Bridgeport area, buses to wherever all over the state, and bring the children to us. That would be ideal. Right. And as a private school, it breaks my heart that students even have to pay for a safe space. Right. But to wait for a charter school application, the last go-around was 2015, and they're still not even funding the one in Danbury yet. So we couldn't wait. There's a sense of urgency. Our non-binary and trans students need it more than anybody, but the school is open to allies as well, based on race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, socioeconomic status, etc. All students are welcome.
Whose idea was this? I know that you're on the board, Mr. Rose. Is this something that you spearheaded? Because this sounds like a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for young people.
I'm being dragged along by Patty. She's the brains behind this deal.
It also sounds very difficult, you know, to undertake. You're raising money. You have a date to already start building. Am I
September 5th is our target date, and luckily we landed at this amazing facility at the Boys and Girls Club in Ansonia, which is a state-of-the-art facility funded partly by Joel Smilo of Smilo Cancer Hospital. So it's a beautiful facility. Turnkey, they're welcoming Proud Academy to rent this space during the day, which Boys and Girls Clubs are technically underutilized space throughout the day. Yeah. It's an after-school program. So for a small amount of money, we get to go in there, 32,000 square feet, and have our inaugural class.
And this is a nonprofit that you're working with.
Yes, we're a 501c3 nonprofit.
Because we're going to be running your commercials to help you raise money. As soon as you get up and running, so,
you know, it reminds me of what James Baldwin, you know, the black playwright, once said when
you can't talk about Miami anymore. But go ahead. we're not Miami, are we?
No. Right. When a reporter asked him, you know, did this really disrupt your life? And he said no. He said because I told you, you didn't tell me.
That's right.
Patty brought up some good points here, right? So. Where you are based at, people have to get their children to, you know, to the school. So that goes into some of the things that Changing Faces works towards, right? FACES stands for Freedom of Access to Community Equity and Support, right? So your school, great idea, right? Great thing. But for those individuals who do not have the transportation to get their children there, right, it takes away from the accessibility piece. Or if you're living way up here in Hartford, which is nothing here, in the Hartford area, that also takes away the accessibility piece. So I'm just going to put this on the air. I don't know, because if you're looking towards the Boys and Girls Club, if there's any way in the future to try to get some satellite programs going so that there are others.
Well, absolutely, that was a thought. And as we were brainstorming strategically how to best go about this, satellite offices were a thought. So students didn't have to travel. That's one thought. And have your flagship school with satellite offices.
Hmm. Are you planning on having sports at this school? Because if you didn't notice, sports and transgender people is kind of an issue these days. Let me see. Just a couple days ago, the U.S. House of Representatives just passed a bill that Joe Biden's not going to sign, so don't worry, that says the following.
House Republicans have now passed a bill that would ban transgender girls from competing in female athletics. The Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act takes aim at government funding. It would ban schools that allow transgender athletes to compete from receiving federal money for education. The bill passed on party lines with no support from House Democrats. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy had this to say during a press conference.
Brilliant man, Kevin McCarthy, here he goes.
I would say we know them, we understand
them.
It doesn't have to do with it. What it plays is, this is athletics. So we can understand the other person. We can go to dinner with the other person. We can hang out with the other person. But there's a reason why there's men and women sports. There's a reason why there's a professional basketball for men and women. It's about fairness.
So according to Kevin McCarthy, we can hang out with him. We can have dinner with him.
Absolutely.
We can say hello as he passes him on the street. But they don't deserve the equal rights that we have. Any responses to this? What is your feeling on sports concerning gender people?
I definitely have an issue with this entire proposition.
Okay, all right.
Discriminating all right, against people.
Tell it.
Because of, like, how they identify when it comes to sports. We have Title IX for a reason, first of all. Second of all, especially, like, there have been a couple studies, I'm pretty sure, that have, like, shown that, like, trans women and trans men share both, like, kind of, like, the brain. Does that make sense? Of, like, a cis man and a cis woman. Like, a trans man like me, like, technically could, like, have the, like, same mentality.
I think as, I know what you're trying to say. I've seen studies that say that the difference between male and female in sports is actually a little bit overstated.
Oh, it definitely is.
A little bit overstated.
For sure.
And that women actually have, shall I say, advantages in ways that men don't in certain sports and vice versa. So this whole thing that men are all powerful in all sports and they just like slam dunk women on everything.
Yeah, no, that's just not.
I understand that to be not true. I actually tried to find some stuff on that, but it's very long. It's very deep scientific stuff. But I believe one of the swimmer on the Olympic team, the trans swimmer, said something about it when she was interviewed, said that, you know, this whole thing is a myth. And if you actually talk to doctors, if you talk to people who have studied this, the gap is not really what it's meant out to be.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, so it's a little bit overblown. But what it seems to me to be, it seems to be a way to scapegoat people.
It is, 100%.
Like, for example, the whole grooming people. How many children have you groomed, Taryn, to be like you? Because they, if you look at TV, if you look at the news, you hear they're grooming us. They're grooming our kids. We've got to keep kids away from these shows. So, if you don't mind me asking, how many children have you groomed today?
I've heard that so much in some of the trainings that I've done. People actually ask those questions in trainings that I've done.
Well, see, it's a little bit, it's disingenuous. You know why? Because it's like the federal government trying to find a way to get involved in a state case. It's like they're trying to find a way to get people in. Like, this is how it affects you. They're coming after your kids.
Like, I myself, as, like, a transgender minor, I didn't know what the word transgender was in fifth grade when I was like, hey, I want to be a boy. That was just kind of how it was, you know?
Right.
Like, there was no representation on the internet. There was hardly anything online. The only thing we had was Caitlyn Jenner, and that's pretty much it, and I don't watch the news.
Right. And when I was a kid, they said the same thing about gay people. They used to say, gay people are going to try to pull you into these clubs and try to make you gay and stuff.
Listen to the title of the act. It's to protect our children. It's garbage. Right. It's garbage.
Well, Jamal, I have to ask. Ad, when I came out as a high school teacher and I'm standing in front of my health class, a teacher comes to the door and says, Patty, or Miss Nick, I'm okay with you coming out as long as they don't hit on me. In front of my 30 students there, which is such a stereotype that because you're gay, you're going to hit on people inappropriately. So I realized, and then I had another teacher who would say, oh, if you were green on Thursdays, you must be gay. So I made it so clear, make sure I don't wear green on Thursdays, because when I was in the closet, I was afraid that Mr. So-and-so would say, oh, Miss Nick must be gay, she's wearing green on Thursdays.
I went to Dartmouth, I wore green all the time.
Oh, I heard that on Thursday, Jen. So adults have a lot to learn. Adults have a lot to learn, and sadly, you know, people are out there in schools with the same narrative with our student population. So we need to educate them ASAP.
Yeah, it all started with the bathroom thing. Like, oh, we don't want them in the same bathroom.
Oh, God.
You went through that. I'm sure.
Like, it's not. The school district is kind of okay with it. I know there's a lot of school districts where it's definitely not. Like, there's some schools where they want to do genital inspection on kids, which is just crazy.
That's right.
It's just crazy.
Right. So it's like we don't want you to read these books about sex, but let's look at your genitals.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, they want to do that on elementary school kids. That's just perverted.
I'll tell you what else they're doing. They're trying to monitor transgender people in schools. Here's DeSantis' new thing.
DeSantis' administration is demanding state universities provide information about transgender students who've had or requested medical care for gender dysphoria on campus. This is the memo sent to Florida International University by the governor's budget director, Chris Spencer. It says, our office has learned that several state universities provide services to persons suffering from gender dysphoria. On behalf of the governor, I hereby request that you respond to the enclosed inquiries. The survey obtained by Local 10 News asks state universities to disclose if students have sought care for sex reassignment, puberty blockers, hormones, if they've gotten referrals, and to which medical facilities. It also requires a total and breakdown by age, regardless of whether the student is age 18 or older.
Isn't that crazy?
Humiliating.
That's mental.
That? Yeah.
But I thought it was against the law for the
kicks
state.
His ass.
I thought the state. I thought it was against the law for the state to ask about medical information. But
yeah.
Apparently, you can do whatever you want to turn transgender people.
I'm just going to share this because I don't care. I am on testosterone. I was on puberty blockers for a while, but I have enough testosterone in my body to where I don't need to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But that is private information that a lot of people don't want to share because they don't want to disclose the fact that they're transgender, especially they don't want to out themselves like that. And so the fact that people want to see that medical information that genuinely doesn't affect them at all, it's only affecting the person that's taking the hormones or the puberty blockers or whatever, that's like, it's mental.
Well, the thing that's crazy about it is that, you know, I'm from Harlem and we're taught if it doesn't affect us, we don't really care that much, right?
Yeah.
So I don't understand where this is, like, why people are, like, so concerned about what's going on in your house.
Exactly.
Can I say something about that? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So there was another station that I was on. And on that station, the individual, the host had said to me, you know, talking about other individuals, it's not your business what other people choose to do, right? Ooh. It's not your business how other people. But what I told that person was, it's your business, because what these individuals are doing in their homes, right, what they do with their own bodies is not your business, but it's your business who you vote in the office. It's your business who, you know, who we allow around our individuals. It's your business if we're going to be inclusive of an individual.
That's true.
We talk about policies, we talk about all, and that's great, but if a policy says one thing, but I walk out the door and the person who's saying bye to me is saying bye to me with the wrong name and pronouns, that messes up the whole day. That can mess up someone's whole day and really cause someone to spiral into depression.
Yeah.
I always let people know that even though I work exclusively with the trans and non-binary individual, I'm talking from secondhand experience. I don't have lived experience, but I hear lived experience all the time. And these types of incidents could really shut someone down for weeks, if not months, just because someone used, not just because, if someone is unable to see them, because that's really what it's about, the pronouns, is right, being able to be seen and being able to be respected and being able to be included in society. And when that doesn't happen, there's a good amount of shutdown that happens and an increase in the dysphoria that people experience.
Oh, 100%. I've definitely experienced that kind of stuff before.
Yeah.
How did you get over it?
Continuous.
Yeah.
It's a continuous battle.
It's an ongoing issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know.
Now, for something a little more touchy, I was wondering, we have this big discussion in the nation going on about how much do we medicate minors and stuff, and how far do we let minors go. Can you understand why a parent would be reluctant to let a minor take such big steps without being the age of majority yet? Do you understand that?
Yeah. I do understand, like, where the concern is, but I think their concern is mostly due to a lack of education, especially, like, when it comes to if a kid just wants to take puberty blockers, all that does is stop puberty from developing. That doesn't mean you can't stop taking the blockers and continue puberty. That it doesn't mean it erases puberty and entirely.
Right.
It just means it.
I think
it's
the fear
reversible.
Is.
Yeah, it is. It's
reversible and it buys you time.
It's very. Right. It is reversible. Yeah.
Right.
It is reversible. Now, the reason why I asked that is because
The fear is that a young person is going through turmoil in their life, as we all do, with girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, and somewhere along the line we'll change our mind. We'll say, oh, we were just a confused teen. Yeah. Why did our parents let us do that? I actually heard, I did some research last night on this, and there's I believe a Tennessean or Ohioan congresswoman, or man, Zoe Lundgren, I believe her name is, Zoe something. She's trans, and she actually had a good answer for this. She said, you know, if you actually follow this, you find that less than 1% of all people who do this actually change their mind. Yeah. Very few people change their mind about it. I didn't know that.
And there's a
I
lot
actually
of
didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a very, very small minority of people. And some of those people, even if they do, like, I see a lot of people, especially, like, on the internet, that are, like, saying that they don't regret it, right?
Right.
Like, with, like, testosterone and, like, some of the side effects, yeah, sure, like, I'm taking it at the age of 16, right? And I'm well aware that I feel like I am old enough to understand that some of the side effects aren't reversible, and I feel like if, like, a teenager like me wants to take, like, HRT, for example, they should think about the possibility that what if, they should always have that what if in their head just in case, you know? And so they could be like, eh, I don't care, and then take it anyways.
But you could never see yourself being angry at your parents later on.
Oh, absolutely not.
You could never be like, oh, my parents let me do this. I hate them for doing letting me do this. They should have been more strict.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And where I can come in, right, in specific situations like that is to help, right? Help to try to, the individuals who are particularly thinking about taking hormones or thinking about having some type of medical transition, being able to process through that with them, right? Process, you know, do you know what the effects of this will be? Are you going to be able to deal with the societal impacts of this? I think when it comes down to the blockers and the hormones, they only prescribe blockers up until a certain age.
Yeah.
So usually around the age of 13, because that's usually where puberty takes place. So usually until about the age of 13. And if we wait until the age of consent on their own, that's 18. So from 13 to 18, we have this individual who is going through puberty, who is developing a body that they cannot relate to. Right? All of those secondary hormones are coming in, which is increasing the dysphoria, which is increasing the anxiety, which is increasing the depression, which is increasing the suicidal ideations, right? And the attempts on suicide. So that age, right, that's really where we need the parents to be able to support their child from puberty blocker age to, right, age of consent.
And I feel like if you have a kid that's saying they're transgender, like, if you're, like, concerned about, like, putting them on, like, puberty blockers or hormone therapy, you should just look for consistency and persistence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this kid is like, I am transgender, this is who I am, and they keep telling you for, like, months and months and months and months, then there genuinely should be no doubt about it, because I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I did know for a good long while before I actually started going on puberty blockers and stuff like that. And I feel like that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a personal question a little bit about your future, about your kind of hopes and dreams. Because, you know, when you're young, you have these dreams about having a family and maybe getting married or whatever. Are these the things that you think about in your future? Do you consider marriage and maybe having kids as part of your future? I'm just curious because most of us haven't grown up knowing transgender people. When I was in school, there were no transgender people. There weren't even gay people
that were out.
Admitting you were gay when I was in high school.
He's not with me. Okay?
Yeah. Admitting you were gay when I was in high school was like asking to get beat up. It's like, yo, I'm going to stand in front of the school and have y'all throw rocks at me. You know, it was very, very unpopular. So I'm just wondering, you know, how do you feel about that? Like the backlash, like, do you feel like this is something that causes people to go to suicide? Like, I hear that transgender people are 1 in 4 are headed towards homelessness. It's hard for them to get jobs.
And yeah, you know? And that's based on, like, the discrimination that we as a whole face. Like, if somebody finds out you're transgender, like, if you pass at all, like, even if you're remotely passing, if somebody figures it out, that's, you could get fired. Mm-hmm. If somebody can tell you're transgender, like, if you're not passing, per se,
that's right.
You can't get a job in general.
Transgender people are not
are not protected by the work laws. That like you can't fire somebody for being black. You can't fire somebody for being gay. You can't fire somebody for being from, you know, Brazil. But you can fire somebody still to this day for being transgender, right?
Yeah.
That hasn't been changed yet. And so that's a backlash right there.
Yeah.
I was doing some research last night, and some trans people are being killed.
Oh, yeah.
Killed.
There are people my age that are literally getting killed for being transgender. Like, there's a lot of cases, especially, like, one most recently, a kid my age in the UK was killed for being a trans woman. Mm. And it does... I do have some concerns about my future because of things like this. Like, I am worried that I'm going to end up not being able to find a good job. I am worried that I'm never going to find someone for me. Mm. And,
but do you want a family if you do? Do you want?
I have definitely considered that, yeah.
Okay.
Let's close it now.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to find out if trans people have the same kind of future
aspirations.
They're humans, right?
Yeah, right. Humans.
What?
That's a good answer. They're humans. That's right.
Mm-hmm. For you, Tara, you have a lot of personal lived experience, and you know, for me, what I hear you talking about when it comes down to the things that you want in your future and families and what you're concerned about, what your future would look like. I don't have lived experience, but I've talked to hundreds of people who have these experiences, who are adults, who are still concerned about employment, who are concerned about, do I even want to bring a family into this society? Because once you become, you're being ostracized and discriminated against because you're a trans person. Become a trans person with a child. And that opens up another door for more discrimination, right? More modulation. So kind of thinking about how it's going to impact individuals in their future when they are able to put something into place. I've had so many clients that have had such a hard time getting jobs, finding apartments just because of their gender identity. That's the focus of why I do the work that I do. Because it's just not right. I feel like I need to have this big epiphany reason for doing this work. And no, it's just wrong.
If I may add to that. So some of the families that were getting interested in Proud Academy, the child may be cisgender, mm-hmm. however, have a transgender parent mm-hmm. and wants to send them to our school because we get it.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to do all this explanation to other school districts. Mm-hmm. So We welcome obviously everybody.
We're going to skip our second break just to keep going because we only have 8 minutes left, and I want everyone to get any information about their organization out. How is it can be contacted? You want to start, Patty? Tell us how people want to be involved in Proud Academy, CT.org. How can they get involved, and tell us a little bit about when it's going to be started and all that stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Proud Academy at www.proudacademyct.org is our website, and you'll see John's amazing smile on there as one of our board members.
No, we want people to participate.
His mugshot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're agreeing.
So there's actually a form on there that says intent to seek employment with us or intent to volunteer.
Okay. And I also want to bring back up Nicole's practice, Nicole Mayweather Banks. You're the reason for this whole discussion, and I really appreciate you. I'm hoping that we'll be friends for a long time. Why don't you tell us about your practice, where it is, and how people can contact you?
Okay, awesome. So just before I do that, I have somebody that I told about Proud Academy who is a teacher that may be reaching out. So one of my clients. My name is Nicole Mayweather Banks, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and my organization is Changing Faces, LLC. I'm a psychotherapy practice and I'm a queer, black-owned female psychotherapy practice who works exclusively with individuals who do not identify as cisgender. If you want to go onto my website is changingfacesllc.org, or you can email me at contact@changingfacesllc.org.
Okay. Dr. McEver knows you. Yeah, nobody wants to hear from me anymore. Rose will probably be back here next week.
I'm good.
Well, the really special person here is Taryn. It takes a lot of courage to go in front of 400,000 people and talk about your personal information. Whether you know it or not, You are a leader in your community. Yeah. And I'm not going to stop this show. So what I'm hoping is that we're going to keep in contact. Whenever any kind of subject matter comes close to this, what I'd like to do is give you a call, maybe have you call in and give an opinion from your perspective, someone who's lived this life. Because I don't like speaking for people.
There's like definitely a lot more that I'd like to discuss.
Right. There's a lot more. There's a lot more you'd like to discuss, and we're not letting this go.
And we want
to
hear it.
Yeah, we want to hear it. Yeah. So I'll be calling you. I'm going to get your phone number. I'll be calling you in the future when these topics come up. Also, you, I'm going to be supporting your school. If possible, I would like your father just to say one thing, because here's the thing. A lot of men know that they have to deal with, you know, whatever comes out, you know, whether their child might be gay, their child might be transgender or what have you. This man I admire so much because he seems so supportive of you, when a lot of fathers aren't out here. So could you just say a few words about your son, how much you love him, and what this journey has meant for you, sir?
All right. First, I'll say that it is just so wonderful to see him speak so eloquently in terms of the struggles that he's gone through, the adversity that he has to face, and just, you know, being what I see is like a vanguard for a movement of a whole bunch of kids that just hasn't been represented or spoken for. He is just a huge inspiration for me. And ultimately what it comes down to, and I'm talking to everyone out there, is if you love your kid, you will do everything you can to help your kid. End. Stop. Full. Like when it's about educating, it's about understanding, it's about compassion. Every single group that we have become a part of or kind of have been introduced through this cause, it's just so powerful to see. And the most underlying thing is just love.
Right.
And acceptance.
Well, I got to share with you, the same thing happened to me when my son was 15. He came to me at a restaurant and he said, "Dad, I really, really want to be involved in the cannabis industry." And I had to deal with that. He's like a big shot in the edibles industry now, and I have to deal. I was like, no, because I'm a lawyer. And I'm like, I went to go to law school and stuff. And we all have to deal with some sort of disappointment or change that it gets on the path. So,
and I know we have to wrap up. I just want to say something in regards to the parenting piece. What I usually have to tell parents is sometimes when they're struggling with it, right, is you either, right, you could potentially have a dead daughter or son, right? Or you can have an alive child. The rates of suicide and suicide attempts among this community is so high, right, that the likelihood of that is really real. So think about that. Parents out there, think about that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this podcast will be up on air by the end of the day. We're going to go ahead and end off with our commercial for Team Vienna. You still got that, Matt? We're going to end up with a Team Vienna. If you want to call in with any other topics, please do. We will see you in 2 weeks. I want to thank all the listeners, all 17 or 18 of them. I want to thank all the guests in the studio today. DJ Mackie C, Taryn, his father.
Thank you.
Patty Nicolari, Nicole Mayweather Banks, the therapist. Do not forget the services that are being provided today. If you are trans, you do have support. People do love you, and you're a part of this world. Thank you for listening to Jamal Show. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.